Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the post-NBL season of the Brad and Body Podcast. How are you, Body? Good to have you, mate.
Thanks. I'm well. I'm looking forward to the Olympic Games, and I'm hoping we have a bit of a chat about that with our guest today.
We will, and we are going to talk about that because the Olympic team has been announced. But let me start where today we have the legends of all legends. Born in Launceston, Tasmania, in April he played his 450th NBL game. He has played for some amazing clubs like the Brisbane Bullets, the Dragons, Gold Coast Blaze, Adelaide 36ers, and currently the South East Melbourne Phoenix, a two-time NBL champion. In 2009, he was the NBL's best defensive player, and he is a five-time All-NBL team member. In 2005, he was at the FIBA Under-21 World Championship, and he is a long-term member of the Australian Boomers, having played in the 2012 London Olympics and, of course, the 2010 and 2014 FIBA World Cup. There is not a person that I know that says a bad word about this man, and he is absolutely loved to be on this show. Gibbo, Adam Gibson, thanks for joining us, mate. Great to have you here.
Gee, you just made me sound like a half-decent basketball player.
I told him to calm it down, but no, he wouldn't listen. So we want to talk you right through your entire career, Adam. So I'd like to start right there. As Brad mentioned, you're born in Launceston. So I just would have thought that you would have been more exposed, say, to Aussie rules football than basketball. So I'm just curious as to how that first came about, that you were drawn to this sport.
Yeah, I definitely played both. Growing up, like I said, Taz is definitely, well, it was back then a more AFL kind of state, but definitely played both. And I guess how I got into basketball was mum was a coach. Her and dad both played, but yeah, she was a coach of our local association and kind of just went and followed my brother and sister and was aching to get on the court. And then when I was old enough and allowed, I jumped straight in, but I definitely played both. I think I get a lot of my basketball traits from playing footy, that kind of rough, right, bumping kind of physicality side of things. But yeah. Basketball eventually took over when I had the chance to go to the Australian Institute of Sport.
Yeah, that so leads to my next question.
Oh,
sorry, buddy.
Thanks, Brad. I had a beauty here.
Like, no, you go first. I'll let you, buddy.
I've got a ripper here. He's a Tasmanian. Gibbo, you're a Tasmanian. Does the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers team, does that excite you at all? Do you have any aspirations to maybe finish there, or are you just happy to see them in the league?
Well, I'm definitely happy when they announced that team was coming in. I was super stoked for the state. And growing up there, not having a team to kind of go and watch, I guess when I was coming through to go and see them train and play, you know, having been around all these other teams interstate, just the amount of kids that are exposed to us practicing or us coming to games or going to clinics was, I think, plays a big part in, I think, junior development. So when Tassie came in, I thought it was unbelievable for the state and just such a great thing for the sport down there. I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing at the moment. It would be a bit of a dream, I guess, to finish out down there, but you know, I guess we'll see how things play out. But yeah, I would love to, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, do you hear that, Brad? Brad, we've got a scoop.
I know. I have seen that Steindl and Jack McVay announced today to go there. And, mate, that would be nuts not to sign you. What a perfect inaugural player to have on there. And, look, for you, I hope it happens. But, mate, I did want to ask you, being that you didn't have that club like you were saying, because, I mean, I think when did the Hobart Devils, with 96, 97, 96, somewhere around there? Yeah, how did you get to an institute and how did – the institute, in a sense, see you play? Did it come through Tasmania?
Yeah, so basically just going through the state program. So playing state for Tassie, under 16s both years, under 18s both years, and then under 20s. But that was the exposure I had. I think I was a little bit lucky. Marty Clark, a former Tasmanian, was a head coach of AAS. Not that we had a pre-existing relationship, but just basically from seeing, I guess, me play well at Nationals for Tassie, you know, putting up pretty decent numbers, that's where I kind of got my opportunity. So for years and years, like you said, since 96, what's that, 20 plus, you know, nearly 30 years, the pathway for Tasmanian kids to make it to the NBL hasn't been easy at all. So to bring the team in, to have that opportunity, like I said, hopefully they have like development camps and training squads where young kids, you know, 15 to 18 can go and be a part of the program and see a general pathway to the NBL. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Talk to about the time at the Institute. How was that? How did you enjoy that?
Unbelievable. Obviously, leaving home for the first time at 16 was pretty scary and pretty daunting, but I guess when you're shipped away with 11 other athletes doing the same thing, all learning how to, I guess, live away from home, how to wash your own clothes. Some of us are a little bit better than that than others, that's for sure. But it was amazing, not just the basketball side. Like, the basketball side was really tough. You go from, you know, training maybe a few times at night in Tassie or your local association to, we were doing 3 days. We're up for Indies in the morning. You go to school and you come back and have like a shooting session at lunch. You go back to school, then you come back and have team practice. You've got to study hall if you're at school for 1 to 2 hours, and you'd sleep and repeat. So that side of things was tough. Certainly gets you ready for any kind of basketball life outside of there. But for me, it was other stuff. It was learning how to cook. They had cooking classes, how to write a resume, how to do public speaking. All those little things, I think, for me, were what's really helped me outside of basketball.
Right. And so ultimately, is Brisbane Bullets the first place that you're playing NBL?
That was my first, yeah. So I went to the Nike Hoop Summit in, I think it was Memphis. Rob Beveridge was the coach of that, so that was an unbelievable experience. And from there, right. Jeff Van Groningen, who was the current boards GM at the time, was over and seen that game, and I caught up with him at the airport. And kind of before I flew back, I had a phone call with Joey, and I guess they wanted to sign me as a Bullet. So that was my first ever pro gig, was with Joey and Jeff at the Bullets, and 16 years later, here we are.
I wanted to ask you about that. In your career, I noticed that while you were playing with NBL clubs, you played in a lot of, it was CBL or QBL, which is now the NBL one. Did you find that really good for your basketball? Were you more pushed from your coaches to do that? And would you be telling kids now that's a good thing to do in the off season?
Without a doubt. It definitely helps. Obviously, the NBL is one thing. It depends what level you play at the NBL. If you play a lot of minutes in the NBL, you might not need to do that, but if you're a development player, if you're a young kid that plays, you know, comes off the bench and maybe gets 5 to 10 minutes a game, I think it's unbelievable. I think a great example of that is Nathan Stobie. I think one offseason he went back home to Warrnambool and played, averaged like 40 in that league. Now, the league's probably not that good, but for him to go and experience that and play in that style and get up a lot of shots and do all that stuff really, I think, jumped his next NBL season. He came in super confident. Played at a high level, and I think that really translates. So if you can go back to your, you know, local club, obviously get a lot more shots, be a playmaker a lot more, and be more involved, it really just grows your game, especially at a younger age. So it definitely helped me. I think from memory, Joey, and that was super encouraging to go and play, and you can earn a little bit more money too. And it's a great way to try new things outside of the NBL.
Now, I speak to a lot of players that do this, and I know you play some great clubs like Hobart, Southern Districts, Forestville. Do you find going back there, it's just not as stressful, I guess, and you can just have fun and enjoy the game of basketball?
Oh, without a doubt. Obviously, there's not, you know, 5,000 people. Most of the guys that play in that, they play for fun, so it is a lot more relaxed. You're not as stressed. You're kind of the man on that team as well, so it's been fun to go and live in that lifestyle and see how that feels. And like I said, it does jumpstart your next season, I feel, because you're going with a lot of momentum.
Hey, Gibbo, you must have thought winning NBL championships was pretty easy, because you've won one at Brisbane, and then you've gone to the Dragons within 2 years. What, you've won another one, and then been a bit of a drought since then.
Yeah, well, I did. You're right. My second year to win a championship, and I remember like it was yesterday, Sam McKinnon kind of spoke about this, because he won one early, similar to what I did, and then he didn't win another one for like 15 years. Yeah. And I remember him saying to really enjoy it because you don't know when it's going to happen again. And then 2 years later, I moved to the South Dragons and win another one, and I was like, what the hell was Sammy Mack talking about? Like, this seems pretty easy, you know, 2 rings in 4 years. I was a bit of a lucky charm. I moved to the Dragons, I was there for 1 year, and they won it, and I was like, this isn't too bad. But you're right, it's been a 12-year drought since, and it's super tough. I mean, kind of have to play for Perth or New Zealand to get a ring these days, but super lucky early. But, yeah, it's dried up pretty bad since.
Although, you know, when you came to Adelaide, you did get a grand final series in with Perth pretty soon after you came here, which reminds me, you had a shocking injury, a plantar fasciitis tear, didn't you? It's right through the semi-finals and the finals. Is that completely healed now? Because you did some courageous things to keep playing through that.
Yeah, I obviously tore it, I think, 2 weeks before the semi-finals, or partial tear, and the decision was to either... I guess have surgery and completely cut through, because apparently it's not a super necessary muscle down there. I'll play through it. So I sat out, and then a few injections and some painkillers got me through the semifinals and grand finals. I eventually had surgery after the season to fully release it. It gave me a few issues here and there, and you just never know, like, down the track how much of an impact that's had on, you know, I've had bad ankles, I've had bad calves now for 5 or 6 years, just how much of an impact that plays with your foot mechanics and all that stuff. But, you know, when you're close to a finals run with your team, and I wouldn't be the only one, a lot of athletes just do whatever it takes to play, and that's kind of what we did.
Is that the same? Can I ask, is that the same league? Because I remember I was commentating a game that you were playing in, and it still gives me chills when I think about it. And I think you tore your calf. Was it in Illawarra? Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, I did. I've torn my calves a few times, but that might have been my left arm in Illawarra. I'm not too sure.
And is that the same leg? Yeah.
I think it was my left leg for that one, yeah. But like I said, I've done both, so
yeah.
I don't know if that directly translates. I mean, I'm sure it has some impact. I've had a pretty bad right ankle, and that's probably led to some right calf tears as well. But it's all part of being an athlete, I guess. Injuries, they always happen. And that's terrible. I said, there was no way I was going to sit out of a potential grand final. So
no.
That's just kind of what you put your body through.
I just want to take you back to the Dragons, and I just like to know, how did you hear about the demise of that club, and what was it like having to go through that, which eventually then got you to the Gold Coast?
Well, I guess for me, it was just like another day, because, you know, the Bullets had folded the year before. So obviously everything went down with, you know, Eddie Gross and ABC Learning Centres. And I hung around there thinking the Bullets were going to come back. So that was obviously a welcome to the Royal World Campus thing, the first time it happened in Brisbane. With the Dragons, I thought it was a little bit different. Obviously, the league was in a bit of a rough state at that time. I'm pretty sure our owners were off there. Mark Clown wanted to be more involved, I believe, of the NBL. I'm not too sure what actually happened, but they weren't happy with how it was tracking, I guess, and decided to pull the team out. To have to move again was pretty quick. It was probably more disappointing, because we had such a great team, a great year. No doubt we would have run it back and potentially going back to back if we had kept most of our team. So that was the most disappointing part about that Dragons demise.
Adam, did you, given that Brisbane fell over after you left, the Dragons fell over, the Gold Coast Blaze fell over, did you start to think it was you?
I did. I definitely was. So when I said I was a lucky charm to start my career with the two championships, I was definitely the bad luck charm. But I can guarantee your body won't think it wasn't, and taking all the money to send the club broke.
I want to ask a question, though. Going back to Brisbane after you won a championship in 2007, that was amazing. Like, you were assigning, you went back in 2016 and 17 of the season as they re-entered the league, and that was after 8 seasons. That must have been amazing to have to sign and go back there.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, the team, they always, within that 8 years, I was close to coming back a few times, and I always kind of waited around. It always seemed to plan out when I was in a contract season that they were close to coming back. So I always kept them in that, but obviously my last year in Adelaide wasn't the best season, probably my worst out of my 7 years. It just aligned that the Bulls were coming back. So to be able to go back to where I started was something I always wanted to do. And just sitting right there, it wasn't like they were going for 8 years. The same kind of faces were still around, the same loyal, you know, fans and supporters that were there from day one. It was like, as bad as it, or as weird as it sounds, it was like the team never were gone. So,
right.
Yeah, the chance to go back to where I started, I always considered Brisbane home just because I started there. And, it was cool to be a part of that rebuild again.
Oh, that's great.
So now you've got the two championships and you've got the Olympics. Where do they rate? And when you look back across your career, where do they rate? Which is it the Olympics the biggest thing, or was it winning a championship? I'm always curious about that.
Definitely the Olympics. Always was a childhood dream. I remember, you know, staying up and watching the Sydney Olympics as a younger kid, and that was always a dream. I'm pretty sure Mum had like a year five bit of paper written down where I say I want to be an Olympian.
Right.
So that's by far the ultimate thing I've ever done. You know, obviously the championships are unreal and unbelievable, but to be named an Olympian, one of the 12 best players in the country at that time, to, you know, the opening ceremony, the first game, everything involved with that is just something that you can't really explain too well, and something that, like I said, I always wanted to do. So that's by far the best, and then the championships sit right underneath.
So these boys now that are preparing for Tokyo, they're a couple of weeks away from representing the country, and there's some high expectations on now that the groups have come out and the teams they've got in the group, which I'm sure you've seen, that they've got Nigeria, Germany, Italy. So there's a very, very strong chance they're going to come through that group as the number one seed, which obviously will give them a good game in the next round. Are you conscious of that when you're in camp, like the guys are now, that they'll be looking at that? Do you dare sort of throw your mind ahead to, hey, you know, we really could get a medal? Or do you have to do that whole one game at a time sort of thing and not lose your focus on yeah. You know, the big picture sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have a great pool. In saying that, I'm sure those teams are still going to be tough. You know what it's like when you go to a major tournament. Like, obviously, no game's easy, but you look at some of the other pools with some of the other teams, and it's, you know, they've definitely drawn a better team. But you know, I think that just how they are now, like Paddy's leading the charge of that, but they're just so locked in and so focused that there's no way they'll be thinking ahead of the pool games. They'll be locked into whoever they play first, and that's all they'll focus on. And, yeah, like I said, just watching Paddy and Joe and some of the guys over there now, just how they're so locked in and so focused on getting a medal that, I don't think there'll be any kind of distraction like looking forward. They won't take anyone for granted. And obviously having Gorge there, probably the best coach that we've ever seen, he'll have him primed as well. So they definitely have a great chance. Obviously, it would have been great to have Ben there. It would have been awesome if Bogues were still running around, just to have, you know, that piece. But they definitely have a great chance to be in the medal round.
Do you know much about these guys that we know less of? You know, the Josh Green and these sorts of guys, Matisse Thybul. You know, like, do you know much about them?
I know absolutely nothing besides what I've seen on TV. Obviously, you know, Thybul seems like an unbelievable defender. Was unreal for Philly. I haven't seen Joel play at all, so I know absolutely nothing about him. And I've seen Josh Green play a few games for the Mavs. I've got no other intel, unfortunately.
Okay, no, because, you know, I think until we've seen this team on the floor, but I think the team we had in Rio was probably our strongest overall group that we'd ever had, because we had Bogut in there with all those guys, Joey, Paddy, Delia, Aaron, still sort of in the prime of their career. So I'm sort of, a lot of people are saying this team is better, and I'm sort of thinking, okay, well, you know something I don't about these guys, but obviously they know something you don't either.
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have Bogut, you don't have the best team. Like, he for me was the X factor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even at an older age, imagine just having him in there. Like, he's basically a point guard. He makes everyone look so good with his passing and his talk and his defense. And so for me, that's like, obviously, normally you take five bigs and kind of seven guards as a rotation. I think they've got four bigs. So they're a little bit light for size, I think. But obviously a lot of great guards to complement. So it'd be interesting to see. But yeah, I mean, it would have been unbelievable to have Bogues in there.
Yeah.
Hard to put this to you, but do you think we're a realistic chance of getting a medal?
Yeah, I do, yeah, definitely. I think, like I said, just because of the focus they have right now, Paddy's been building this up for a year or longer. He'll have those guys locked in and with Gorge at their helm. I do believe they'll be in the medal round for sure.
Well, Gorge said, I saw an interview with Gorge where he said he's walked in and they've sort of hit him in the face with the culture of, yeah, we're winning a medal. He didn't have to say anything. It's like, it's already there. Those guys have been working so hard for it, particularly that NBA core have worked so hard. There's almost their, well, not almost, it is their last chance at it. So there's nothing they're not going to leave out on the floor. So, yeah, you have to like their chances of getting a medal. Absolutely.
Gibbo, I wanted to ask you now, at this time of the pod, what we do is we just ask, throw some names at you, and we're just looking for like one word answer, one sentence answer on what they feel. And I'm going to start it off with a good mate of yours, Paddy Mills.
What word do I need here? You need a lot of words to describe Paddy, but I mean, a leader is an easy way to describe him, but just the passion, I think, he brings is phenomenal.
Okay. I got Joey Wright.
Joey. Geez, this is a tough game.
Just keeping it to a minimal words, it is, yeah.
Joey. One word only? That's tough.
Oh, you can use more than one.
You can have a sentence.
you can use effing if you wish.
I love Joey. Joey's the massive reason why I'm an Olympian and have played for this long in the NBL. So caring is not the right word either, but just no matter who you are, the amount of time he puts into a sort of athlete from top to bottom is next level.
Interesting, because we've interviewed Joey and he pretty much had the exact analogy from you. Just a great guy. Next one, Jason Kadee.
Talented.
Okay. Nice. Brian Gorgian.
The GOAT. No, like I said, Gorgian, like just having him for one season with the South Dragons, like you don't know it when you're in it, but his whole plan from day one to championship was so on point. Like we got to like before the semis and we were building, the whole thing was building the whole way through to be primed, and it's hard to explain, but just his day-to-day and his, obviously his in-game stuff is next level, but his humor, he's great to talk to, absolutely funny human being.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, great answer. We had this person on the show last week, Mark Worthington.
Wortho. His Wortho's done it all.
So he told us.
Well, I won't say humble. Wortho, again, like he's one of the best probably forwards that we've seen him play in Australia too. Like, again, so smart, hit big shots, did dirty, like just whatever it takes.
Yep.
Yeah, good call.
Chris Goulding.
What bubbles, like, I mean, he's a walking bucket. Like he hits tougher shots better than he hits wide open shots.
Yeah.
He'll play a massive part for the Boomers as their one true knockdown shooter.
Yeah, good call. I just wanted to ask you before we wrap things up, and hopefully you do play for another few seasons because you've got that in you. What is your plan after basketball? I mean, you could have a media career, you could do whatever you like because you pretty much got it all at your beck and call. What is your plans, or is that nothing at the moment?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and I'm definitely into it now because obviously being jobless and whatever at the moment, and towards the end of my career, maybe started now, maybe in a year or two, but. That's a great question. I would love to stay involved in the game. Having done it for 16 seasons in the NBL, like I want to be involved. So ideally, I'd like to be some kind of a coach with the team to keep doing the day-to-day without the physical side. I think it would be pretty cool. But, some media stuff would be fun as well. Kind of link them all in together. That would be maybe I could create a new role, but... I wanted to be in basketball because that's what I've done my whole life. So,
well, I love your interviews in the car. Your interviewing in the car is sensational. I love those ones. And can I also say, when we interviewed Simon Mitchell, we asked him about you, and his one word / one sentence answer was coach in waiting.
Yeah. Well, I when you get a bit old, I mean, I've always done it, but when you get a bit old and you can't run as quick or catch up, you kind of have to coach your way through a lot. But that's just kind of the role I took on this year, Isaiah and Jero guys taking the minutes just to be able to sit there and read the game and help with players and whatever. So it's definitely something that does interest me. And, that would be a path I'd love to go down.
Okay, now, this is a new one. I'm just pulling this out of my hat right now. We just want a one-word answer for the following. I'm just going to give you a word and then you give me give us a one-word answer, right? Brisbane.
Bullets.
Adelaide.
36ers.
Oh, come on. You're not looking for something deeper than that.
Jeez. Oh, you are.
Adelaide, churches or so, whatever, nightclubs, whatever, you know. Right. More along that line.
I was going to say wineries.
No, that's good. Wineries works. What about Melbourne?
Nightlife.
Right. Hobart.
Oh, Hobart. I was going to say Chargers.
Oh, it's good. Yeah.
What, police charges or the basketball team?
The basketball.
Mate, Gibbo, look, thank you. Look, I know on behalf of Boddy and I, we say thank you so much for coming on. We really hope to see that, number one, you go around again, and damn, if anyone's listening from Tasmania, sign this man up. Yeah. Gibbo, mate, thank you so much. You have given this league so much. You're a great guy, and it's just amazing that everyone you speak to just says what a true champion you are, and we can't thank you for coming on this show enough, mate. Well done. Thank you so much.
No, mate, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the support in the Commonwealth, and we'll see what happens, but I might be joining you guys soon in a podcast
with some other
athletes.
Mate, you're always welcome. Boddy's trying to get rid of me of every week, mate, so you're more than welcome.
I'm white-handing him at every turn.
Love it.
Good on you, mate. Thank you so much.
See ya.
Appreciate it, fellas, anytime.
Boddy, I say it every week, but I really was looking forward to that Adam Gibson one. That was something, you know, I've had a lot to do with a lot of players, but sure, I've never had anything to do with Gibbo. For no bad reason. No, just because I've never been in that, like, he's never been in Sydney. He was way after my career. Even when I was coaching, he wasn't around then because it was before them. And, you know, like, I'm good mates with Ben Madgen, who speaks so highly of him, and I'm good mates of other people that he's dealt with. And it was just great. Everything I hear from him, I just felt that in that interview.
Sure. Well, he was the captain here with the 36ers during his time in Adelaide. And so I had a fair bit to do with him, as much as you do when you're writing about it on a daily basis. No, terrific guy. Great value system. Yeah, just and that's – he's the guy that will never flop. You know, that will never flop. And that, I reckon these days I sort of judge players on that a little bit on their on-court. Like, would this guy flop? And he wouldn't. He'd rather have you come through his chest and knock him on the ground than for him to just fall on the ground. And that's 25 guys we could name off the top of our head.
Plus the one you're speaking to now, me. But anyway, that's a separate issue.
Were you a flopper?
No, I was just so small.
You don't strike me as a flopper.
I definitely wasn't a flopper. I was just so small and light, mate, that they threw me along the ground.
Yeah, I reckon that time you got knocked out was about the longest you were on the court, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I was on the bench when they knocked me out too.
Great.
He got three games for that, by the way. But can I just so I thought, I loved it. And it's like I said, you know, like you meet these players. Like for me, I didn't have much to do with Mark Dickell before he came to Sydney. And then I meet him. And I was like, man, this guy's great. Yeah. You know, like really nice guy. You talk about all these other ones. Anyway, let's move on.
I got the impression, though, from talking to Adam that he would love to finish his career with the Tasmanian Jet Jumpers. And I definitely got the impression that he hasn't had the call.
Right. So
and I'm shocked by that.
There you go. I'm glad you brought that up. Why would you not? I just can't understand if you've got a guy that's played 450 games. Now, I'm purely talking what you get off the court. You'll get it on the court as well.
Yeah.
But to get a guy like they've got Steindl at the moment and they've got McVay, good. I like what they're doing. And they'll have three imports, I'm sure. So in theory, five spots are filled, right? Yeah. There's still another seven spots to go. Why you wouldn't bring home to get A, bums on seats, right?
Yeah.
Because it's the Tasmanian. B, a guy in the locker room.
Absolutely huge.
A guy that you could probably wean through and could end up coaching the club. I'm sorry if, you know, that sounds really bad, but you just know he's got that coaching in him. Man, I can't believe. And I'll tell you what, he had some big games this year and still can hit those dagger shots and play some D. So I'm actually shocked. I really am. I thought they would go after that, but hey, we're not GMs.
I'm a bit disappointed, actually, as much as shocked, because I would have thought that the first thing you do if you've got a Tasmanian franchise is you look through all the rosters and see who all the Tasmanians are. That would be the first thing I would have done and gone, okay, so who have we got playing around this country? Because, you know, there was a time when they had lots of players, like Mark Nash was playing somewhere and Anthony Stewart was playing somewhere. You know, they had a lot of players. I don't know how many they've got now playing around the country, but that would have been the first thing I would have done. Chris Golding's another.
Another nine spots that are going for this league, not nine that you're grabbing from other clubs. Okay, you'll grab some, but with an extra team coming in, that is nine extra players to come into this league. Okay, because I'm taking out imports. Mate, you need nine talented players.
So
it's it does shock me a little bit. But let me talk about some signings. I thought some signings, and I want to go on to the Boomers as well. But let me just talk about it as well. Some interesting ones. Wildcats re-sign Jesse Wagstaff. Thoughts on that? 13th season.
I thought he really struggled during the playoffs. In fact, I thought he was so bad during the playoffs, uncharacteristically bad. That's why it stood out to me. He must have been hurt. I noticed he had something on his calf, on his left leg there, but he couldn't make a shot, and he just wasn't his normal self.
Well, let me ask you this, though. They've re-signed Majok, but a number of players are walking out of that club.
Yes, a great many. Yeah. And you wonder whether they're being released.
Going in a different direction? Yeah. What's going on?
Well, there's been a change of ownership as well with the Wildcats.
So we know, Steindl's gone, obviously. Yep. Will Magnay said he's not coming back. Yep. Jared Bairstow gone. Yep. So it's you know, that's unusual for Perth.
Yeah. Yes, because they do a lot about building that core, retaining that core, developing that core, so that when you lose some, when a Greg Hire has gone, Luke Travers is in, and you know that he's going to be there for a while, and that's the way they seem to operate. This is unusual, but I would say Magnay was a late season pickup. Maybe that just didn't work out as they wanted. Although, what have you heard about John Mooney?
Yeah, John Mooney. John Mooney. I heard he's got a tryout with Utah. So Utah Jazz, obviously, in the NBA, and my understanding is they're going to give him a tryout. So that's great for them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Great for him, I should say. Not great for Wildcats fans.
No.
Very interesting. And are also, you prepared? I hope are I'm you saying prepared? This the right way. Sorry, but Wani Swakalobulok, I hope I've said that right way. He's also declined his option. So there's another one. So
I'm giving you the option here in the first week of July of 2021 to take a punt, Brad, and say Perth will not make the playoffs.
That you know, there's no way, mate. My name, there's not a hope. I'm saying not even for 2024. I wouldn't even be talking about. Also, just some other quick signings. Dave Barlow re-signed with United. I think that's great.
Yep, they've got a new wheelchair for him, so he should be great.
Oh, mate, he's
flexible. Going.
Now, I want to get on to it. Let's talk about it. Talk to me about the Boomers. What do you think?
Look, I think they made a lot of good choices. I feel sorry for Brock Modem, especially even as Adam mentioned in the interview that it's four bigs instead of usually it's five. And I would like to have had the insurance of him there. He was not a bad performer in Rio, where we also had Cam Best and a few other guys. I like the team. I like the fact that I don't know much about these guys. So they're some of these new faces. So clearly they have impressed at camp.
That's when they would have had to do it.
Yeah, they're hanging out to play for Australia. I think they're going to play great. I'm really looking forward to this team.
It'll be an upbeat team. They've got to run.
You brought up something off air about Nathan Sobey. You should address that. I think it's
fabulous. I mean, here's a guy that didn't make the cut, right? Yep. He was not in the, was it 19, 18, whatever it was. He was not in the original cut. And he showed in his game, he had that FU attitude, which I love. Nothing bad about that.
And chip on the shoulder.
We had Andre Lemanis on this show, and he said the same thing, and it was great. And here's a guy that wasn't even in, let's say, the top 20, whatever it is now going to the Olympics. Now, that just is brilliant to me for two reasons. One, he didn't sulk and let it get it down in his god. He had an NBL MVP season. Okay, he wasn't the MVP. He was top three, right? Yeah. And he said, well, fine, I'll show my way. And I also love the fact that Basketball Australia and Gorge have said, well, you deserve this because you've proven your spot. So I think it's brilliant. And well done to Nathan Sobey.
Absolutely agree, 100%. When you say he was top three NBL MVP, he was the highest Australian vote getter, right?
Great point, yes.
So therefore, again, you're right. He took that on the chin, that original omission, and turned it into – you know, a driving force for the season, and there he is. He's going to the Olympic Games.
Some players could come out and just like, oh, stuff them. I don't care. I don't want to go to the Olympics. You know, nothing like that. He just put his head down and ass up is the pretty simple answer. Yep. And total respect for him. Oh, yep. Well done. Mate, that's it. We're
out until next week. We'll see what we've got
next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Piranha Media, thank you so much. Really thank Adam Gibson. That was brilliant. We're loving bringing all these players in and having chats. And we will see you all next week. Body, had a great week, mate.
Cheers.
See you later. I am going to ask you, though. How happy were you that Lithuania is out of the Olympics?
I was happy, but I was even happier to see Serbia out of the Olympics.
See you next week.
Cheers.